and they're going to come on. And it's not, it's like, well, their spirits aren't. No, no. See, they, it always says they are there. See, spirit returns to God. I know Ecclesiastes, the spirit returns to God to give it, but the spirit is just life. It's not the person. The person is actually in the grave. Spirit returns to God who gave it. The spirit, the person is in the ground. They are dead. And you say, well, the rotting corpse? I mean, where is it contained? I mean, don't try to reason. You don't understand. The dead, you know what death, you ever seen anything dead? You ever held a dead something or person? They're gone. And to bring someone back from that state, yeah, it's a miracle. And God can, you know, if they're, what if they're in the sea and the fishies eat them? I used to ask these questions myself, so I know all the answers. See, what if the fishies eat them up? What, God's going to reconstitute them. Wherever they fell, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's his business. But this is what the Word of God says. Don't you asking gainsaying questions against the sure Word of Scripture, the teachings of the apostles and Jesus? You're a gainsayer. The perverse disputings of men. Now, I know some of you, you've been taught a certain way, and I'm not trying to come down on you. But listen. If you continue studying with me, I will get to the dead. I don't know if I'll do it in Romans, but I'll at some time recommend. If I ever teach the book of Thessalonians, that'll be it. If I ever do the Gospel of John, I promise I will do the book of 1 Thessalonians as soon as possible. And in it, I will teach you what happens to the dead. Because that is the subject in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where are the dead? So that'll be my promise to you. That's the next book I'm going to do. 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And we'll learn about where the dead really are, according to Christian doctrine, the teachings of Jesus Christ and his apostles. Not according to this denomination, that denomination, or the so-called orthodoxy. I guarantee you, knowing the scriptures, orthodoxy can't be right. Just by virtue of being orthodoxy. Unfortunately for it, it is blind to such things, but as always, that is to fulfill the righteousness of God. It commends the righteousness of God because they fulfill his word. But they'll still be judged, just like it says in chapter 3. If our, right, I'm going to go back there real quick. If the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why am I yet judged the sinner? If people lying about the scriptures, they say, well, I taught false doctrine, but it's really actually proving God, because it does, you know, orthodoxy and false, the Christendom out there and all that stuff, it proves the Word of God, because that's exactly how it's supposed to be. Actually, you know, everything is going according to plan. Some people, that would be hard to believe, but really it is. It's just people don't see the plan. They think, see, they take things out of context, and they go legalistically, and they don't have the Spirit, and I don't know, and sometimes I feel like they can't read. But it's just as Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? And because why? Because such things have to be given from God. That is grace. See, doesn't God, see, promise? The kingdom of God is preaching, all men try to force their way in, see? And you kind of have to be forceful about it. But you've got to believe some pretty steep promises, man. I mean, you know, it's like, you're going to say, I'm going to be godly. I mean, you think you're going to get to be godly by being, I don't want to say timid, because timid has its place. You know, the meek, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the, that means kind of like self, the controlled. Those were not, you know, it really means not necessarily timid, like, you know. But I want to say, there has a certain amount of assertiveness. I don't like assertive either. There is a certain desire that has to be in you for things of God, and a love, and you know, as the things you really want. That God has to give you that in order for you to obtain these promises. There's a certain zeal. Virtue is manliness. You know, that word virtue literally means manliness in Greek, but it means, you know, it's going after stuff with that zeal, with that desire. So, I mean, you can't, what I mean is you can't be lax. You can't be apathetic. That's the word I would think would be, you can't be apathetic about it. Oh, if I get it, I get it. I don't. I mean, you can have days like that, but if that characterizes your life, that train's going to hit you. For if when we were enemies, I already read that. I like that. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement. Sometimes people like to break down the word at-one-ment, but that isn't really what it means. Oh, it means reconciliation, restoration. English kind of has a rare thing where it's like, yeah, it kind of the words together, it kind of means what it, you know, but in Greek, it means reconciliation, restoration to favor. Jesus Christ is the one who gives, restores us. So that, because in spite of our sin, because God hates sin. He doesn't like sin. He doesn't like sinners. But while we were yet sinners, he was gracious to us. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The propitiation of sins that are past. And the future sins will only be propitiated when they become to be in our past. See? And if they're our present and we die in them, as I said in the previous chapters, well, that's going to be... It says, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. See, if you believe in Christ, I guarantee you, you won't die in your sins. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, I'm reading from verse 12, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. I want to stop there because I realize as I'm reading this in King James-ish, it might be somewhat lost on English use. Because before I thought the last part of the chapter was very clear, even read in the King James, which I love. Because I always feel like, why do I use the King James? Is it better? I don't know. You know, I've always... It's the translation that is existing in my mind. And I love the elegancy and the almost formality of the speech. Because we don't talk like this anymore. And I think... You know, I understand the impulse they had in Catholicism to retain the Latin. Because there was something... It made something... It made church seem special, right? And I like the way the King James-ish... makes the Bible seem like something special, like different. We use different kinds of words. We have an entirely different way of speaking when we quote the Word of God. I like that sentiment. And I don't,